Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Two Off the First. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for joining us today. It is Tuesday, October 1st. Happy October. We're getting closer to the end of the year. I think it's 90 days or so until the end of 2019. And we probably will have plenty to talk about in those 90 days, including the couple stories we have for you today. If you listen to us through iTunes, make sure you give us a 5-star review before the end of the show. We really appreciate that. It helps us reach more people. And then when we don't have to ask you about it at the end, you just do it now. It'd be great. And then before we get into the two stories, just hit pause and do that. Anyway, two stories for you today. I'm not much of a beggar for things. I'm sorry. I'm just not that good at it. So today we get two stories for you. The first is a fascinating story out of the Korean tour. I know we don't talk Korean tour, and I know a lot of you just went, what, Korean tour? Is he reaching already on episode 14? No, this one is a absolutely crazy one. I saw this on my reader last night as I was getting ready to go to bed. I had played in a charity golf tournament. I drank way too much, a lot of Fireball. Played great. I mean, I played amazing, but I was hurting at midnight. And I mean, I drank a ton of water. It evened out. All that was fine. But just at the end of the night, like, my toe hurt. It rained a bunch, so I felt just like garbage. It was just miserable. And things are fine today, but I couldn't get to sleep around midnight. I busted out my phone. I don't like to do that. Popped open the readers. Like, if I just read something kind of boring, I'll fall asleep. And the last thing I read was this report from the Yonhap news agency in Korea on my reader. And I do subscribe to some weird things. And it was a Korean golfer, Korean PGA player, suspended 3 years for obscene gesture. And I thought to myself, 3 years? It's got to be a misprint. Maybe 3 months, maybe 3 days. And you go in and read the story. And so here's the gist of what happened. Bio Kim is 29 years old. He played on the PGA Tour for one season in 2011. So one of those final seasons where you could get straight to the PGA Tour from Q School. And he played a couple of years in the Korn Ferry Tour, including last year. And this year came back to Korea to play golf and play on the Korean PGA Tour. And he had a good season up to this point. He finished with a victory earlier in the year. And heading into the final round of this week's tournament, he was the DGB Financial Group, Volvic, Daegu, Gyeongbuk Open. Man, that's long. He was, I think, 4 shots out of the lead, if I remember right from the leaderboard. And he gets into the 16th hole, has the lead, has a 1-shot lead at that time. And he hears a shutter sound from a smartphone camera. And he hears it as he's trying to hit his tee shot, hit driver. He turns around, like, slams the club on the ground in frustration / annoyance. And he looks, I mean, he just turns right at the place where he heard the sound come from and just gives a big middle finger, like a big F you right to that person, whoever it was. And you think, okay, well, you know, that's not the worst thing I've seen on a golf course even this year. Like, Tommy Fleetwood flipped off a putt at the Masters this year on worldwide television. And then, obviously there are other cake takers. Almost all of them belong to Sergio Garcia, including taking money from a murderous regime and playing in their tournament in Saudi Arabia and then destroying their greens and vowing never to do it again, only to destroy a tee box months later in Memphis, get zero suspension whatsoever. And the only penance he really had to do was a targeted Instagram campaign of pictures of him holding kids and signing autographs. And so you think, okay, well, I mean, what's the big deal? It's a middle finger. Like, that I do that once a round to myself. I'm not suspended from golf. I'm also not a professional. And the Korean LPGA got together, or the Korean PGA, not the LPGA, Korean PGA board got together in an emergency meeting on Monday, and they decided they're going to suspend Bio Kim for 3 years for this incident. 3 years. That's unbelievable. For a variety of reasons. One, Byakim won the tournament on Sunday by a shot. He is the leading money winner on the tour this year. He leads in the Player of the Year race. He's the only guy with two wins on the season. And he has been wiped clean from the Korean PGA Tour website. He is no longer the leader. His name is gone. I mean, his name was... They still acknowledge that he won the tournament. They kind of had to do that. People saw it on TV. But his name is gone. Like, erased. And the part of the board meetings and one of the folks, I guess, determining the fate of Byakim, and it was a unanimous vote of this board that offered this 3-year suspension... One of the parts of the statement said, Byakim damaged the dignity of a golfer with etiquette violations and inappropriate behavior. Yeah, but 3 years. 3 years. They're not going to let him finish the season. His points, all the points for the Player of the Year race, that's gone. So whoever wins is really not the winner. It's Byakim. That's beyond crazy. He had just moved up from like 460-something in the world to 302nd because of the win. And... they fined him $8,350 on top of it. I cannot explain this at all. I don't get how this happened. I don't get how you can just... for 3 years. 3 years. And I realize, yeah, this is probably some shocking piece of etiquette in Korea, but it's just a couple of seconds, and... everyone makes mistakes. You don't get punished for 3 years in jail for a run-of-the-mill fender bender. Like, you pay a fine and your insurance goes up, but that's about it. We got a system for that. And this the footage afterwards. So they show the footage on Korean News Network, YTN, KBS. And then they put together some imagery, some video of the meeting where Byakim has to apologize... or SBS, not KBS, has to apologize, and he gets on his knees, and he says he's begging for mercy and forgiveness, and he wipes a tear from his eyes. He's wearing a suit. It's ridiculous. It is beyond ridiculous that all of this has happened. And now Byakim doesn't have anywhere to play the rest of this year. I can't imagine being wiped off of the Korean PGA Tour gives him any kind of status. And so what does he do? I mean, I guess he may have some status on the Japan tour. I guess he could try to get some status on the web, come back to America. I don't know if that's a viable option. So effectively, this guy's career is kind of on ice until something crazy comes along. I guess he could try European tour, Q school, stage one is out there. I don't know if he needed that. I don't know. I mean, it's so late in the year, you can't just rally and go play some Q school and hope to get some status, I don't think. Maybe as a guy with former status, he could go into first stage Korn Ferry Tour school. I don't know. This is a devastating story all over a middle finger. And the reason he gave the middle finger was because some asshole fan decided to take a picture of him at an inopportune moment. And in Korea and a number of other Asian countries, it's legally required for the shutter sound on a camera, on a smartphone, to go off, because it is effectively an anti-snooping measure. So if you can't take like upskirt pictures of girls, or you can't illegally spy on somebody, so the sound goes off, you know you're being watched or spied upon, right? So the fan had to know that when they took the stupid picture. They know the law, they know what their camera does. And Byakim's the guy that loses. He's the guy that gets screwed over out of all this. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. It sounds fake, and I know it's not, and I hope at some point the Korean PGA is like, yeah, that's kind of harsh. Like, a year is too much. A week is too much. But you can't give this guy 3 years in the prime of his life. He's 29, got plenty of time left, and you're all of a sudden telling him, basically, we're going to throw your career into the cooler because you flicked off somebody. I mean, that's... No. I mean, there have been bigger... aggressions closer to a fight on a PGA Tour event this year than that, where Byakim's like, or not Byakim, Bubba Watson's like, yeah, you're a real tough guy, you should come inside the ropes. That happened this year, and there was not even a hint of a suspension. I mean, there might have been like a talking to, like, please don't threaten to fight guys at an event, but there was no suspension of any kind. That would be absurd, just like this is. So I hope, for Bio Kim's sake, I hope someone comes along and says, you know what, this guy's a good player. He's done some good things in the past. This is one bad moment for him. And I'm sure he is not happy about flicking somebody off. But come back to reality. Let this guy play some golf. And let's just kind of work everything out. This is crazy. Let's take a quick break. Tell you about ShotScope. Our friends at ShotScope have been using them all year. Did not use them, however, at the fantasy or the charity golf tournament yesterday. That would have been... Actually, would have been looked really good, but it would not have been as legitimate as it could have been. And we've been working with ShotScope all year. Otherwise, on our regular golf rounds, using it to track my performance, get better as a player, and frankly, I've become a smarter golfer this year, in part because of ShotScope. I know my tendencies better. I know how I spray the ball better. I know my dispersion patterns better. I know how far I hit each club better. All of that because of ShotScope. And they're sensors you stick in the screw into the butt end of your grips on each of your clubs. And then you wear the smartwatch device the GPS watch device that comes with the package that you purchase for about $200. Turn it on. It uses the GPS on board to tag and mark each shot when you hit it. Maps it against the course that you're playing. It gives you strokes gain data, gives you performance data, gives you distance data, all the stuff that you need to know about your game, know about your tendencies, know what you're doing to get better, and to have an actual plan to do it. Not practicing without a purpose. You're doing things the right way to get better at golf. So head over to ShotScope.com, find out a little bit more about the product, about how it may help you. We're running articles about my experience as well, the experience of other ShotScope users throughout the year here at Golf News Net on our website, golfnewsnet.com. And we will have some promo codes for you in the coming months as we get toward that shopping season too. And the best part about using ShotScope is if you buy it one time, you buy it one time. It's not like other platforms where you have to pay an annual fee to be able to get your data, to use your data, and you have to get held hostage for it every year, which is ridiculous. Once you buy into ShotScope, you're in, which is great. So if you're looking to get better next year, or even for the fall months of this year, check out ShotScope, ShotScope.com, and give them a try for yourself. All right, the other story for today kind of comes back a little bit to the other day when we're talking about Rory McIlroy and his complaints about the European Tour setups being too easy. By the way, McIlroy, this isn't one of the stories, but McIlroy backtracked a little bit on Instagram, and he's done this in the past before where he realizes he went too far in saying something. It kind of has to take it back a little bit. He said, you know, that probably wasn't the right thing to say, but the point still stands. I'd like to see it tougher. I don't know if he has an actual point there, but at least he kind of did backtrack a little bit and paid some kind of level of respect to the European Tour, which has acquiesced to his every single demand for membership in the last few years. And we'll see where that goes. But inspired by that story comes this one, which is from Reuters and a little bit from Golf Channel, although I don't know why Golf Channel went the original reporting route on this if you read the work. So Reuters reported that five players, their drivers, failed random testing last week at the Safeway Open. The PGA Tour has chosen to do expanded driver testing this year with USGA. Unannounced, random tournaments, 30 players picking the drivers out of their bag that they plan to use and testing them for the characteristic time test, which is, if you're not familiar, a measure of how long the ball stays in contact with the driver face at impact. The maximum amount of time that can be with the measurement tolerance is 257 microseconds or 257 millionths of a second. And you get the actual limit is 239, and you get an 18 microsecond measurement tolerance. So it's 257 really. And the PGA Tour decided to expand this driver testing after Xander Schauffele and a number of other players had their drivers tested by the RNA at the Open Championship, the only place they do any kind of testing, and they failed. So like five of the drivers failed out of the 30 that they did, so the PGA Tour decided, you know what, we're going to expand our driver testing. And they created the system that started at Greenbrier. They test 30 drivers. They do it on Monday and Tuesday, right out of the players' bags. And then they grade them. It takes about 15 minutes. Say it's a green light. All right, it's totally clean, good reading, no chance of going into kind of failure territory where you would be non-conforming. There's yellow light, which means it's conforming, but the face is starting to maybe degrade or deform to the point that you could see what's called CT creep, and all of a sudden your face gets hotter than it was originally designed, and it would be non-conforming soon. And then there's the red light, which means it's non-conforming, you can't play it anymore, and you can't even put it back in your bag. Five drivers failed that test. Number of different players, number of different manufacturers, based on the Reuters reporting we had, Titleist drivers, TaylorMade drivers, and Cobra drivers. None of the big names driver, you know, in the field, none of their drivers failed the testing. That doesn't, at least, they may have not been pulled. I mean, it's just a random sampling. It's not everybody in the field. The names that were singled out were Corey Connors, Robert Streb, Jason Duffner, Michael Thompson, and Mark Hubbard. Duffner, obviously, you know. Streb, you know. Connors, you know. Thompson, you probably know. But those aren't, you know, A-list names that you're thinking about, and that does span a number of manufacturers. So there's some intrigue here, because it kind of comes down to this reality that players on the PGA Tour may be playing with a driver that is hotter than legal, and that can happen after as few as 30 strikes with the driver. And that can happen because as you bash it more and more, the faces get a little bit thinner, but they still maintain their integrity, but they're getting a little bit more stretched out, and that allows for a little bit more spring-like effect. And so instead of 257 microseconds, like 260. And while that sounds like that's cheating, it's not really cheating. I mean, they're not trying to do that. Second of all, this is just kind of an engineering reality of having super thin faces with materials trying to support this as light as possible. And finally, having those extra microseconds of contact and impact, they don't really amount to much in terms of distance. I mean, maybe 1 yard is about what I've been told. Maybe a yard, if it's particularly egregious. But for the most part, it really doesn't mean anything. And some manufacturers want to maintain that the non-conforming drivers that have this kind of CT creep, as it's been labeled, actually may not even perform better, because it may not, the driver face may be hotter in terms of how long the club face and the ball stay together at impact, stay connected, but the way that the face then flexes as a result of impact is less ideal, and therefore you kind of lose a little something. And we'll find out more about that over time, but it is interesting that basically one out of every six drivers that were tested before the Safeway Open are illegal or non-conforming. And what that means in the long haul, I don't know. But I do think that this should be a big story. This should be important, that players are using equipment that is not legal. And that doesn't mean that they have to change drivers all the time. I think that maybe that's a little too much. But we have to find an answer here so that there isn't this perception that PGA Tour players are cheating. I don't think that they are. I don't think like Corey Connors is sitting around in his hotel room, like, knows he's got a 262 microsecond CT driver. You're like, I have one. It's not anything like that. I mean, none of these guys, Streb and Duffner, Thompson, Hubbard, they weren't part of the conversation the same way. That wasn't any of it. But the perception these guys are using illegal equipment, or for that matter, you know, in terms of the drug testing program, if they're using PEDs that can be covered up, that can be masked. They've started to do blood testing the last couple of years, and so they're trying to get more accurate testing and try and stay ahead of the curve of designer drugs. Even still, the program is built in such a way that the commissioner has quite a bit of bandwidth, whatever power, whatever you want to say, discretion to determine when players are suspended, if they're suspended, and how it's announced to the public. So if someone just disappears for like 5 or 6 weeks, are they hurt? Are they suspended? You don't know. I mean, you're supposed to tell the public, but do you have to? I'm not sure. And the same thing's kind of coming out here, where I think that the PGA Tour needs to be a little bit more transparent here. You need to say, these are the people and these are the manufacturers whose drivers are failing. And you got to put it out there. That doesn't mean it's an act of shaming. I think you just need to know as a fan. You need to know how many drivers are non-conforming in these tests. Because if it's just a sample of 30 players in the field, we have, 156 or 144 last week? Multiply it by 4.5. So we maybe had as many as 25 to 30 guys using illegal drivers last week. And I know the PGA Tour sets up courses to maximize the performance of drivers. I mean, if you look at the drive Cameron Champ hit on 18 at the end of the tournament, the one that set up the birdie to win, he had a 369, but that ball rolled probably 60 yards at a minimum on the ground. It's not that he doesn't hit it far. That's still really far to carry at 305 or 310, but he got so much extra roll out of it because that's how the PGA Tour sets up courses. That's how some of this monster distance comes about. Yeah, guys are carrying it farther. That's great. About 10, 12 yards over the last decade or so in terms of total carry. But the rollout is ridiculous. And if these guys are being able to use illegal drivers that maybe give them just enough of an advantage to get just a better roll, just an extra yard, just a little bit more, that's not 1 yard in the air. That's 10 yards because it rolls. It hits a better place. It hits a better spot. And it goes farther, firmer spot. So I don't think we can think of it as in just a pure sense of, all right, well, it's, you know, a couple more microseconds can't really mean that much. Well, it could. It actually could. And that's not just 10 yards on one drive. That's 10 yards on 14 drives. And over the course of a tournament, that's 56 drives. That's a big difference on 56 approach shots. I think that the tour has to do better. I think as they get more of a sense of what they have here from their testing results, they'll be able to tell the public something. But their track record has not been that great historically in telling people what actually is happening until they can tell it to people in a way that seems complimentary or at least not bad. And I think that's what they would wait for to tell the public. So it'll be interesting to see how this testing progresses and what more they will tell the public about it. And maybe if the USGA has an agreement to share some data with people, even if it's made anonymous, so that the golf fan can understand what goes into this and what it might mean for their game too, and maybe couch it that way or something. I don't know, but it just feels like this should be a bigger story than it is. And I know it's October 1st and most people are not thinking about golf in that way, but this should be a bigger story than it is right now. All right, that's going to do it for us today on Two Off the First. A little bit shorter show than normal, but just want to get to those two interesting topics today. Please give us a 5-star review if you listen to us on iTunes. You can reach me over email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. We'll come up with a couple things for you tomorrow as we get ready for the Open Day España, the Vegas tournament, the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open out of TPC. And then we'll also have on the LPGA, the Volunteers of America Classic in Texas. So full slate of events this week, plenty to talk about tomorrow, and we will catch you then on Two Off the First.